Hello, and welcome to your AQA GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and philosophically rich topics on the entire specification: good, evil, and suffering. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final push before your exam, this episode is packed with everything you need to earn top marks. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to explain the inconsistent triad, distinguish between moral and natural evil, evaluate three major theodicies, cite specific scriptural references from both Christianity and Islam, and structure a perfect 12-mark answer. That's a lot to cover, so let's not waste any time. Section 1. The core problem. Why does evil exist? Let's start with the big question. If God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving, why is there so much suffering in the world? This is what philosophers call the problem of evil, and it sits at the heart of this entire topic. The philosopher J.L. Mackey, writing in 1955, identified what he called inconsistent triad. This is sometimes also called Mackey's trilemma, and it's absolutely essential that you can explain it clearly in the exam. Here's how it works. Mackey argued that three statements cannot all be true at the same time. Statement 1, God is omnipotent. That means all-powerful. Statement 2, God is omnibenevolent, that means all-loving and perfectly good. Statement 3, evil and suffering exist in the world. Think about it. If God is all-powerful, he could stop evil. If God is all-loving, he would want to stop evil. But evil clearly exists. So either God isn't all-powerful, or he isn't all-loving, or, and this is the atheist's conclusion, God simply doesn't exist. This is a devastating logical challenge to religious belief, and it's why the topic is so important. Examiners want to see that you understand this tension, not just that you can describe it. Now, before we look at the responses to this problem, we need to be clear about the two types of evil. This distinction is worth marks on its own, so listen carefully. Moral evil is evil that results from human choices and free will. Examples include murder, war, theft, genocide, and abuse. The key point is that a human being made a decision that caused suffering to another person. Moral evil is directly linked to the concept of free will. Natural evil, on the other hand, is suffering caused by the natural world with no human agency involved. Examples include earthquakes, tsunamis, disease, famine, and floods. The 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, which killed over 230,000 people, is a powerful real-world example of natural evil. Here's a common mistake that candidates make. They confuse moral evil with sin in general. Moral evil specifically refers to suffering caused to others through human action. Not all sin causes suffering to others. For example, a private act of pride or envy might be considered sinful, but doesn't necessarily constitute moral evil in the theological sense. Make sure you're precise about this distinction. Section 2. Religious responses, the theodicies. A theodicy is an attempt to justify or defend God's goodness in the face of evil and suffering. The word comes from the Greek words for God and justice. Let's look at the three main theodicies you need to know. Theodicy 1, the free will defense. The free will defense is the most commonly cited response to the problem of moral evil. The argument goes like this. God gave humans free will, the genuine ability to choose between good and evil. This is a gift because without free will, humans would be mere robots, incapable of genuine love, virtue, or moral growth. The philosopher Alvin Plantinga developed this argument in detail in the 20th century, but its roots go back to St. Augustine in the 4th century. Augustine argued that God created a perfect world, but humans chose to disobey God, as described in the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis. Evil entered the world as a consequence of that original free choice. In Christianity, this is supported by Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit. This act of disobedience, the fall, is seen as the origin of moral evil in the world. The strength of this theodicy is that it preserves human dignity and moral responsibility. It also maintains that God is good. He didn't create evil. Humans chose it. However, the free will defense has a significant weakness. It doesn't explain natural evil. Earthquakes and diseases are not caused by human choices. Why would a loving God allow a child to die of cancer? This is where the second theodicy becomes important. Theodicy 2. The soul-making theodicy. The soul-making theodicy was developed by the philosopher John Hick in his 1966 book Evil and the God of Love. Hick argued that the world is not meant to be a paradise. It is a veil of soul-making. In other words, suffering and challenges are necessary for human beings to develop virtues like courage, compassion, patience, and love. Think of it this way. You can't develop courage without facing fear. You can't develop compassion without witnessing suffering. If God removed all suffering from the world, humans would never grow morally or spiritually. Hick drew on the ideas of the early Christian theologian Irenaeus, who argued that humans were not created perfect, but were created with the potential for perfection. We are made in the image of God, but we must grow into the likeness of God through experience and struggle. The strength of this theodicy is that it can account for both moral and natural evil. Natural disasters provide opportunities for courage, charity, and solidarity. Moral evil provides opportunities for forgiveness and justice. However, critics argue that this theodicy is deeply unsatisfying when applied to extreme suffering. Why must innocent children suffer? Why did 6 million Jewish people have to die in the Holocaust for anyone's soul to be made? The scale of some suffering seems completely disproportionate to any possible spiritual benefit. A useful quote to support the Christian perspective on suffering is Psalm 119, verse 71, which says, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." This supports the idea that suffering can have a positive spiritual purpose, and it's a versatile quote you can use in multiple exam contexts. Theodicy 3, the Islamic perspective. Islam has its own distinctive response to the problem of evil and suffering. In Islam, suffering is understood primarily as a test from Allah. The Quran explicitly states in Surah 2-155, "And we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient." This is a crucial quotation to memorize. It tells us three things. First, suffering is divinely ordained. It comes from Allah. Second, it is a test of faith and patience. Third, those who respond with patience, the Arabic word is sabar, will receive reward. In Islam, the concept of sabar, meaning patience and perseverance in the face of hardship, is considered one of the highest virtues. The prophet Job, known in Arabic as Ayyub, is the supreme example of this. He suffered tremendous loss, his wealth, his family, his health, yet maintained his faith. His story appears in both the Bible and the Quran. In the Bible, Job 1 verse 21 records Job saying, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." This is a powerful expression of faith in the face of suffering, and it's directly relevant to both Christian and Islamic perspectives. The Islamic perspective also emphasizes that humans have a limited understanding. Allah's wisdom is infinite, and what appears to be evil or suffering from a human perspective may serve a divine purpose that humans cannot comprehend. This is sometimes called the epistemic distance argument, the idea that God's ways are beyond human understanding. Section 3, Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Now let's talk about how to turn this knowledge into marks. This is where many candidates lose points unnecessarily, so pay close attention. Tip 1, use the PER structure for 5 mark questions. PER stands for Point, Explain, Reference. Every 5 mark question requires you to make a point, explain it in detail, and then include a specific reference to a source of wisdom or authority. That means a quote from scripture, a named thinker, or a specific religious teaching. If you fail to include a reference in a 5 mark question, the mark scheme caps you at 2 marks. That's a loss of 3 marks for 1 omission. So always include a quote. The safest quotes to have memorized are Surah 2:20-55 for Islam, Job 1 verse 21 for Christianity, and Psalm 119 verse 71 for a more general Christian perspective on suffering. Tip 2, avoid one-sided arguments in 12 mark questions. The 12 mark question always begins with a statement and asks you to evaluate it. For example, the existence of evil proves that God does not exist. Evaluate this view. If you only argue one side, even brilliantly, you are capped at level 2, which means a maximum of 6 marks out of 12. You must present arguments on both sides and reach a justified conclusion. Tip 3. Your conclusion must be a judgment, not a summary. Many candidates end their 12-mark essays with a summary of what they've already said. That's not a conclusion. That's repetition. A conclusion must make a clear, justified judgment. For example, overall, I would argue that the free will defense is the most convincing response because it preserves both human dignity and God's goodness, though it remains incomplete without the soul-making theodicy to account for natural evil. Tip 4. Allocate your time correctly. The 12-mark question is worth 50% of the marks in that section, so give it the time it deserves. Allocate exactly 15 minutes to the 12-mark question. That means roughly 2 minutes planning, 10 minutes writing, and 3 minutes checking. Common mistake 1. Saying God tests people without specifying the religious tradition. This is a specifically Islamic concept rooted in Quranic teaching. In Christianity, the emphasis is more on suffering as a consequence of the fall or as a means of spiritual growth. Always attribute ideas to the correct tradition. Common mistake 2. Describing a theodicy rather than evaluating it. In a 12-mark question, the examiner wants you to assess the strengths and weaknesses of the theodicy, not just explain what it says. Use evaluative language. This is convincing because, however, a weakness of this argument is, a critic might respond that. Common mistake 3. Confusing omnipotence with omniscience. Omnipotence means all-powerful. Omniscience means all-knowing. These are different attributes, and mixing them up in an exam will cost you marks. Section 4, quick fire recall quiz. Right, let's test what you've learned. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, and then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the name of the philosophical argument that says God's omnipotence, omnibenevolence, and the existence of evil cannot all be true simultaneously? The answer is the inconsistent triad, also known as Mackey's trilemma. Question 2. What is the difference between moral evil and natural evil? Moral evil is caused by human free will and choices. Natural evil is caused by natural forces with no human agency. Question 3. Which philosopher developed the soul-making theodicy, and in what year? John Hick in 1966. Question 4. What does Surah 2 to 155 say, and why is it important for the exam? It says, "We will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient." It's important because it's the key Quranic reference for the Islamic view that suffering is a test from Allah Jah. Question 5. What is the maximum mark you can receive in a 12-mark question if you only argue one side? 6 marks, level 2. You must present both sides in a justified conclusion to reach level 3 or level 4. Section 5, summary, and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. The problem of evil is one of the most important challenges to religious belief. Mackey's inconsistent triad shows that God's omnipotence, omnibenevolence, and the existence of evil appear logically incompatible. Religions respond with theodicies. The free will defense explains moral evil through human choice. The soul-making theodicy explains suffering as necessary for spiritual growth, and the Islamic perspective sees suffering as a divine test requiring patience and faith. The key quotes to memorize are Job 1 verse 21, Psalm 119 verse 71, and Surah 2 to 155. The key thinkers are Mackey, Augustine, Plantinga, and John Hick. And the key exam skills are use PER for 5-mark questions, always argue both sides in 12-mark questions, and end with a genuine judgment rather than a summary. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode.